lies.
Well, I'm just trying to get the truth here, sir.
Yeah, Adrian, Dr. Mike is speaking the truth, you know?
You cannot hide. I will find you, and when I do, I'm giving you the truth.
If you think you can handle the truth, then stay tuned for Dr. Mike Live.
If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, especially if your doctor is Dr. Mike.
Stay tuned for Dr. Mike Live.
Hey, folks. Thanks for joining me on Monday, September the 17th, 2018. Happy Constitution Day. How many of you knew that today is Constitution Day? Why am I bringing that up? Well, because the Constitution of the United States is a very important document. It, in fact, secures our liberties. It details and gives specifics. And this may surprise some folks, but it limits what the government can do. Did you know that was what the Constitution and our Bill of Rights does? It tells the government, keep your hands off of our freedom and our liberty. It was not written or designed for citizens to specify what our liberties were. It was to tell the government, these are our God-given rights. You don't have a right to infringe upon those. And so happy Constitution Day today, folks. Now, I bring that up because this reason, the Constitution is under attack. Well, there's a news flash. It's been under attack for a long time, hasn't it? For a very long time. Our judicial system in America has become a tyranny in and of itself. And the left is using our judicial system as a bludgeon against freedom and liberty-minded people, such as myself and many of my friends, to silence us, to censor us, to cut us out of the conversation, because they only want one narrative to prevail. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today on Dr. Mike Live. The truth will make you free. The truth will make you free. Now, of course, that comes straight out of the scripture, doesn't it? Truth will make you free. The Bible says that. A lot of folks think that that comes out of academia, that knowledge and learning will set you free. But the fact of the matter is that that knowledge has to be very specific. That knowledge has to be acquired from a certain source in order for that statement to be true. Now, since you have your Bibles with you, and I hope that you'll learn this or know this already, since I'm a pastor teacher, we're going to look at the scriptures a lot, probably every show. There's going to be some kind of scriptural reference. There's going to be a launching point from the scriptures that help us to understand the things that I think are important for us to learn week by week. So today we're going to look at John chapter 8. So Jerry, if you have that available, John chapter 8, and folks, I read and study from the New American Standard Translation. You may use something different, and that's fine. But John chapter 8 in the New American Translation, and I'll give you just a few seconds to turn there. And I want to run through this very quickly. Well, at least the first 20 verses or so, very, very quickly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on those, and folks that know me, they're probably saying, especially Larry, Kathy, and some of the other folks that are in the queue right now, they're probably saying, well, that's a very good thing, because Mike, we know how you are. You could use up this hour that you've got on just the first couple of verses, and then we wouldn't get to the point. So we're going to get to the point here. John chapter 8, are you there? Amen? All right.
Yes.
Let's run through this quickly. John chapter 8, starting at verse 1. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. So these are several discourses here that he's going to be talking to people, teaching people, actually. Notice in verse 2, Jesus was teaching the people who came to the temple that day. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. Now, that naturally drew the attention of the temple priests of the Pharisees, the scribes, any of the Sadducees that might have been milling around. And as soon as they saw Jesus sitting down to teach the people, they were on him like white on rice. They were already fomenting hatred against Jesus. They were already opposing Jesus. And the reason for that, folks, is because Jesus had already established very early on that he was nothing like them, that he was nothing like them. And so every time that Jesus was around, you'll see in the Gospels that the Pharisees approached and they tried to interfere, tried to stop him from what he is doing. So that's verses 3 through 11. The religious leaders couldn't stand it, so they cause a scene. And this is a scene that many of you are familiar with, so let's just read through it. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now, the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say?" And they were saying this, testing him in order that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones. And he was left alone, and the woman where she had been in the midst. And straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" And she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way. From now on, sin no more." So Jesus then, after driving off the Pharisees, really embarrassing them, really showing them that they were sinners with planks in their eyes, they had no business doing what they were doing, Jesus turns his attention then back to the crowd of people that had gathered there and started teaching them again. Now that's verse 12. "And again, therefore, Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life.'" Now that's about all he got out. And the remaining Pharisees and temple priests that were there again interrupted him. That's verse 13. "The Pharisees therefore said to him, 'You are bearing witness of yourself. Your witness is not true.'" So then we see Jesus' response to that, verses 14 through 29. And I'm not going to go through all of those verses, but I do encourage you to read them and study them and see them in the context and understand how this whole flow moves through this. But I want to call your attention now to verse 30 and the result of Jesus speaking truth to corruption. That's the point that I want to get to. Jesus speaking truth to corruption. Look at verse 30. "As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him." Many believed. Now, there is a spiritual principle for us today, brothers and sisters. That's why I'm doing this live show. That's why I continue to teach the Bible. That's why I continue to write articles. That's why I continue to do podcasts. That's why I continue to appear with other people on other platforms, is because we are truth bearers. We are truth tellers. We have the gospel, the real truth that the world needs to hear. You know, I've become aware in the last few days of just how important it is, just how focused that I personally need to be. And I'm hearing that testimony from other people that they need to be focused. They understand that it's time for us to stay in our lanes. How many of you understand that it's real easy to get distracted and get yourself involved in too many projects, have the proverbial saying, too many irons in the fire? That can happen very, very easily. In the last few days, I've talked to a number of people, and they've all echoed the same sentiments, that it's time for folks to stay in their lane, to focus, to press in hard on the gospel message, the power of God to save people, to change lives, and to change the situation that we might find ourselves in. Friends, we're in a battle today for the truth. Now, that is not a news flash to any of you, especially people that are here in the queue. And I'm not talking about, let me qualify that, this battle that we're in for truth. I'm not talking about my version of truth. And I'm not talking about your version of truth. And I'm certainly not talking about the media's version of truth. Our battle for truth recognizes that we must submit ourselves to God, to His truth. We honor and obey God and His truth, and we help others to discover His truth. That's our mission, folks. Jared, I want to play video number one from Black Pilled, and we'll go almost to the end, but not quite to the end. And let's look at this, folks, and then we'll join back in this discussion.
People will automatically conform to what they perceive as popular because their existence relies on the group. Whether out of circumstance or limited abilities, many are dependent on the group for survival. So they are biologically hardwired to go along with the group. Maybe they receive government benefits from the group, or perhaps they are a cog in a large globalist corporate machine. But most people aren't business owners themselves or independently wealthy. Without the group, they would be unable or unwilling to fend for themselves. So conforming to the group is crucial to their survival. Late-night talk shows are very popular with these kinds of people because they supply instant feedback from the group. They are given audible cues that inform them of the group's position on popular topics, whether or not they should approve or disapprove of this person or that person, in the form of cheers, applause, and laughter. Television studios became aware of this psychological trick and the need that the average person had to be given this group feedback before they could comfortably respond to jokes, and that led them to insert artificial laughter into most sitcoms.
It's not massive. It's just average-sized.
Which later evolved into cutting to reaction shots in shows that didn't have a laugh track, like NBC's The Office. It is these visual and auditory cues that communicate to people where the group stands and therefore what to conform to in order to ensure your survival within the group. This is precisely why corporate political propaganda employs these same tactics.
What we need are laws, real laws, that do everything possible to keep assault rifles out of the hands of people who are going to shoot our kids. Go on TV and tell them to do that.
Jimmy Kimmel or John Oliver make a joke at the expense of a politician.
Donald Trump, the only president who combines the sordid extramarital affairs of a young JFK with the dead-eyed puffiness of a post-Watergate Richard Nixon.
And the audience, who they themselves are responding to visual cues in the form of applause signs, cheer with glee. It is communicating on a visceral level to those people whose survival is directly tied to being part of the group that their survival is also tied to disapproving of that politician. It programs them to have a negative response when they hear that person's name in the future, because that person is not approved by the group, and therefore, approval of that person endangers their very existence. If you doubt what I'm saying, I'll give you a perfect example of this programming. After her defeat in the 2016 presidential election, Hillary Clinton blamed James Comey for her loss.
I was on the way to winning until the combination of Jim Comey's letter on October 28th and Russian WikiLeaks.
The propaganda ministers spun into high gear and began programming their audience to dislike Comey. The programming was so effective that when Stephen Colbert announced to his audience some months later that President Trump had fired Comey, many in the audience cheered.
Huge story that broke just minutes ago, like less than 10 minutes ago. FBI Director James Comey has just been fired by Donald Trump. Huge Donald Trump fans here tonight.
This was not the correct response, and Colbert immediately rebuked them and wasted no time in communicating that the group now liked James Comey. The audience, both in the studio and at home, obediently accepted the new programming, and that programming will persist until such a time that the narrative changes, in which case the audience will be reprogrammed once again. Television has always been a tool of the elite. The astronomical costs involved in producing programs and distributing them to the public meant that all the messages contained in the programs could come only from the elite. Now, with the internet and the ease of access to platforms like YouTube, the ruling class is now losing its stranglehold on the flow of information. It is also fracturing their ability to project what group consensus is, which is important if you want to control the people that just want to conform to the group. Group consensus is now communicated through how many likes or retweets or thumbs up a post might get, or the subscriber count someone might have. This evens out the playing field and is precisely why they have begun to censor and shut down channels that go against the approved narrative. I myself have had view counts manipulated on YouTube, and channels way bigger than mine have been banned recently because they didn't go along with the official narrative. This is why it's so important that you support independent media, like whether it's black-pilled or it doesn't matter.
All right. Well, you get the drift there. It's very clear what's happening. Now let's continue on with what Jesus said concerning truth, and we'll tie all this together. Look at verses 30 and 31. So I already introduced verse 30, and he spoke these things, and many came to believe in him. And by the way, how did Jesus know that they believed? Now, I happen to think that it was more than just because he knew their mind, their heart, that he knew that it was a real and genuine profession and possession of faith in him. I think it was more than that. I think they verbally confessed their faith that he was, in fact, the Christ. Now, I don't have any support for that in the text. It's just my opinion, and I'm quick to point that out. But that's what I think is going on. Now, it's interesting to me that Jesus didn't say, and you can see it here, oh, that's great. That's great. You've made a profession of faith, so everything's good. Everything's good. No, notice what he did say. Verse 31. Jesus, therefore, was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. If you abide in my word, then you are disciples of mine. What we're seeing here, folks, is a very classic if-then statement. If-then statement is a basic tool of reason and logic that establishes a causal relationship. This is philosophy, logic, reason 101, apologetics 101. This establishes a causal relationship. Look again, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. In verse 31, Jesus is saying that the proof of genuine discipleship, notice he uses the word truly, you are truly disciples of mine. The truth is, the proof of discipleship, that what you say you possess, what you say and profess in this context, Messiah and Savior, is that you will continue to abide in my word. Now, I bring that point up, and I'm making an issue of it today, folks, because we have strayed so far from that truth. We have strayed a long way from the truth that if you are truly a disciple, you will abide, or the New American Standard updated version, 1995 update, says you will continue in my word. And what that really means, folks, is that you will not just honor, but you will obey my word. We have accorded and believed people in the salvation they say they have because they merely said a prayer at some time in their childhood, and their life looks like a wreck. But because they prayed that prayer 40 years ago, there's been no fruit or no evidence of salvation in their life. Well, we just accept that as them being saved. Sometimes we're willing to accept people who say, well, I won't. Walked an aisle at a camp meeting at one point, or I did this at VBS, or I did this, or I was baptized, or, hey, I joined a church. I'm a member of so-and-so church down the street, or, hey, I give money to charity all the time. Folks, how many of you understand that that is not what it means to be born again? It is not what it means to be a saved, blood-bought, redeemed, spirit-filled Christian. But we've allowed that to come into the church. You know what the result of this sloppy reasoning is, folks, for us in the church? Well, we see that. We excuse every form of evil and abominable behavior from folks that profess to be Christians. I was looking at an article today talking about Methodist, Episcopalian, Lutheran, and Presbyterian pastors rallying and marching in support of abortion. Now, that's not news. It isn't news. What is news is that the numbers of those pastors and congregants in those mainstream denominations is on the rise. It's continuing to grow, this idea. And now we've even got a movement that Oprah is supporting. It's called Shout Your Abortion. Folks, that is nothing more than celebrating child sacrifice, the blood sacrifice of unborn children upon Satan's altar. That's what that is. But we say, well, they say they're saved, so maybe there's room for a disagreement. Let me tell you something, folks. There's no room for a disagreement over child sacrifice. Now, I'm going to back off for just a moment because I'm sensing that I'm getting into preacher mode, and I want to give you an opportunity to jump in here and share some views if you would like to do that. And I'll give you a couple seconds, so don't hesitate or I'll jump back in there again. If you've got something you would like to say, because after all, I want this to be interactive. I want us to have a conversation and dialogue. So if you've got something to say, jump in there now or forever hold your peace.
Hey, Pastor Mike, just a technical aside is for those people watching on Facebook, I see there's about 10 of y'all, go to drmikelive.com and you can join into the actual show to comment live on your camera. So drmikelive.com, you'll see a button, click it, and it'll tell you what to do. That's it.
Yeah. Thank you, Jared.
Hey, Dr. Mike, it's a blessing to be on here and catch your show here, and especially in the teaching of that he will make us free. He doesn't set us free, but that he makes us free. And I appreciate you, brother, and I appreciate you preaching the truth and teaching the truth. And, the discipleship part of this training and teaching and disciplining in the Word of God and in the ways of our Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Dale. I appreciate you joining us, folks. You need to follow what Pastor Dale is doing on Facebook. If you find him on there, make sure that you're sharing his posts. And Pastor Dale is King Jesus Ministries, I think, Pastor Dale. Isn't that right?
Yeah, it's his ministry. Miles will put his name on the building, eh?
And that's right. Yep, that's right. And Pastor Dale is associated and helps and is part of Operation Save America as well. So need to check out Pastor Dale. Follow him on Facebook and make sure you're sharing the things that he's posting. Thanks, Pastor Dale. I appreciate you being on. Folks, being born again. Is there anyone else? Larry, you got anything to say?
Sure. Am I coming through?
Yep.
Well, one of the things I talked to the children in Sunday school class about, we talked about who Jesus was, but then I asked, well, what does that look like? And I didn't let them hang very long. I just said, look what Jesus says. It's not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, who enters the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father.
Yes.
That's not the same as works.
Right.
We're still saved by grace. There's nothing we can do or earn, but there is. It looks like something, whatever that is.
Yes. Larry, you were reading my mail. You're reading my mail. So let's continue on.
I'm sorry.
No, that's perfect. Actually, that's a good lead in, Larry. So thank you for that. Here's the point. Being born again, folks, being a disciple of Jesus Christ is more than just an intellectual assent to a set of data, as our friend Mark Trump likes to point out all the time. Being a born-again believer is more than just a mental assent, an intellectual belief, because, and I'll tell you something, Satan believes that Jesus is who he says he is. Satan knows the truth, so it's more than just knowing data or understanding the truth. You have to do something more. Now, James, to Larry's point that he was making, James chapter 2, verse 17, folks, says this, faith if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. Now, don't misunderstand it. People have done it forever. We're not saying that works save. What we're saying is works is the proof of your salvation. There will be fruit. If you're a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will continue or abide or obey. That's action, folks. That's putting feet to your faith and being active for the kingdom. Now, that's one of the things that I really, really appreciate about Coach Dave, about Pastor Dale, about Ray, a lot of these folks that are in the queue today. And that I hang out with on Coach Dave Live and David Arthur, another perfect example, is that they put feet to their faith. It isn't just about what they know. It's about what they do. And I think, and you can jump in here and comment if you'd like, but I think that the highest form of worship is studying so that you can be doers of the word. When Paul says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not be ashamed, sometimes we focus on the study, the word study, but what word should we be focusing on in that passage? I think it's workman. I think it's workman. I think study and understanding who God is and the depths of his riches should put us to action. That should compel us to activity, to being out there working for our Mike, king.
Mike?
Yes.
Remember, when that was written, I think that's in Timothy, isn't it? There was no Bible to study.
Right.
At all. I mean, they had the Old Testament as reference, but they didn't have Bibles like we had to study. There was action. There had to be. There was no other alternative.
Yes. Yep. You're absolutely right. So having said all of that, we get to verse 32. And verse 32, in my opinion, is the original mic drop verse, the original mic drop verse. Look what it says here. It says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, you cannot detach or divorce that from verse 31. Verse 31 and 32 go together, folks. They go together. So you need to read them and understand them together. The if-then statement, if you continue in my word, in other words, if you obey my word, if you are involved in ministry, if you're doing things for the king, then you are truly disciples of mine. And if you are obedient and active in your faith, then you will understand the truth, and it shall surely make you free. Truth, folks. Here's a takeaway. Write it down if you want to. This is a good tweet, in fact. Truth is apprehended by the obedient. Amen, brothers and sisters. Truth is apprehended by the obedient. And that is the battle today. The question is, whose truth is going to prevail? Jared, let's look at a few minutes of video number two from Truth Stream Media. This is going to explain for us, folks, exactly what we're up against today. And this isn't news for most of you. Some of it might be just the depths of the strategy of our enemy. And make no mistake, this is satanic strategy. And it isn't about just shutting down a conservative voice. No, no, no. Don't buy that. That's a distraction. What this is about, folks, is shutting down the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The elites and the globalists and the Luciferians, they could care less whether you've got an R behind your name, a D behind your name, an I behind your name, or nothing behind. They don't care what your political persuasion is because they're using them all. The goal and the aim is to shut down the gospel proclamation in America. That's the goal. So let's look at this video, Jerry.
I've never seen anything like this. This isn't just that we can describe it as Orwellian. It's straight out of Orwell's 1984. If you recall that book, which everyone should reread because it's apparently become more relevant now than ever, Remember, there was a distinction between the truth, which was actually what was happening, the actual circumstances, and fact. Facts in that book are just what people believed to be the circumstances. And Google, I'm sorry, this makes me so uncomfortable. It hurts my brain. Google has now released new guidelines that aren't just targeting conspiracy websites. They are openly directly targeting them, and they say that, but they're targeting any site which would even attempt to contradict what they claim are well-established historical and scientific facts. That is their wording. So one of the examples in this document talks about how they're going to rate main content on web pages, and that's how the pages show up in search rankings. Websites that present unsubstantiated conspiracy theories as if the information were factual. And then it gives an example of the Vatican's knowledge of the planet Nibiru. That's a pretty far out there theory for a lot of people. But as we all know, this has to do with anything that contradicts what they want people to think about how reality is. Google's Eric Schmidt, of course, attending Bilderberg every year.
Help us understand, where's the future of search going?
Well, when you use Google, do you get more than one answer? Of course you do.
Yeah, of course.
Well, that's a bug.
Yeah.
We have more bugs per second in the world. We should be able to give you the right answer just once.
So they're going to determine what it is that people are allowed to see on the internet. It used to be we talked about this, ranking information, hiding information from people. But now in their new document, it's the new quality raters guidelines. They put out certain examples of conspiracy theory websites they're going to target. But it isn't just that. It's not even remotely just that. It's not going to be limited to just the outlandish, crazy conspiracy theories. Which, by the way, is why I think some of them are being pushed so hard right now. Some of the ones that you cannot wrap your mind around. I think the reason they're doing that is so they can discredit anyone who dares to ask any questions that go against what Google calls well-established scientific and historical facts. And just lump everybody together in the crazy bag. Buried in this 160 pages, down on page 108, you have this description of ratings of fails to meet that should be assigned to results that are considered helpful or satisfying to no or very few users. Now look at the last two bullet points on here. Pages that directly contradict well-established scientific or medical consensus, and pages that directly contradict well-established historical facts. So you'll remember just a couple of years ago when the buzz term under Obama was the science is settled on climate change. The science is settled. Remember how they kept saying that over and over and over?
Well, the science is settled, everybody. Sorry.
As if you just say it repeatedly, that means it's true. Or websites that will extol all the virtues of vaccinations without providing anybody any information about the very real health risks. And well-established historical facts, geez, I guess that means the magic bullet theory for the JFK assassination. That would be a well-established historical fact, and so that will be what people get to see online. And anything that contradicts or questions what they determine is a well-established scientific, medical, or historical fact, well, that information is going to get buried. It doesn't matter if, like on our channel, we're showing declassified documents, and now you have a new thing they've put up on YouTube to let me know that a lot more of my videos have now been identified as not suitable for advertisers. And I've explained this to you guys before. This isn't even about demonetization. This has to do with the burying of content and putting it in a virtual box so other people can't see it, making sure it doesn't show up in searches, making sure it doesn't come up as related content for other videos, making sure that even sometimes my own subscribers who sign up for alerts to my videos coming out don't get those alerts, so they have no idea I even put a new video up unless they come and physically check it. and no one sees the video unless viewers share it themselves on Facebook and Twitter and all that, which of course, as we know, Facebook has their own quality control system that's going to match up with Google. This is where the whole fake news thing was always going. It was always going to this level of Orwellian censorship. And why? Because, as I've told you guys many times before, the World Wide Web, which they very purposefully called the web, has always been a cybernetic feedback loop of communication and control. They're controlling what people think with this. Literally.
One way to think about this is we're trying to make people better people. Literally give them better ideas, better augmenting their experience. Think of it as augmented humanity.
Why can I say that? Because just before these new guidelines came out, NPR put out this article. They were all miffed because they claim that people aren't getting the well-established medical quote-unquote facts. And one of the examples they give in here has to do with what they claim is misinformation about the health benefits of colloidal silver. That's tip of the iceberg, okay? About what they claim are medical facts, quote-unquote. They always put articles like this out, by the way, right before they're going to hit everyone with their new guidelines. It's a problem-reaction-solution tactic. So I skipped past all that and just got right down into the meat of this article where they always bury the information that they figure most people won't read because they just read the first paragraph in the headline. And it says the reason this matters is because what shows up in search results shapes people's opinions. They know that the first things that people see when they Google something is going to be what most people just automatically believe. They're not going to go do their own research. They've replaced their brain with Google. And they could sway people's opinion based on what they showed. If it was mostly negative information or mostly positive information, they could get people to believe whatever they wanted them to. And that's what it says down here. The ordering is everything. So the big finding is the degree to which we can manipulate people's healthcare decisions simply by changing the rankings of search results. And I've been getting messages from people lately saying they are censoring especially any kind of video that's warning about this right here, or that's warning about AI making decisions, because these decisions about these rankings are all being made by computers. The decisions on our YouTube channel about what's going to be seen by people, that's all AI making those decisions. That's not a human being making those decisions. And more of these decisions about what you can learn and what you can know and what people can talk about, those are being made by computers. People don't realize how much of our society now is going to be based on what a computer says is okay for us or not. It's straight out of Rollerball. Remember the Zero computer in Rollerball that forgot the 13th century?
A little confused again here today. This is embarrassing. It's embarrassing to misplace things.
Misplacing data?
The whole of the 13th century.
This is Zero's fault. Zero. He's the world's file cabinet.
That's what this is, okay? It's the same exact thing. And the virtual world is starting to merge with reality. This is the issue. Dan Dix put this video up.
The Vancouver Police Department is the first police agency in Canada to implement predictive policing technology.
Just a little while back, about how police in Vancouver are now using prediction technology to send out squads for pre-crime arrests.
The new predictive system helps us to be a step ahead of potential offenders. Instead of just informing officers where crime happened 2 hours ago, we'll now be able to let them know where crime is predicted to happen 2 hours from now.
What is that? It's when a computer predicts that a crime will happen in an area in a couple of hours, so they preemptively send police there all amped up looking for a crime before it's even occurred. And of course, if you're looking for something, you're usually going to find it, right? So now a computer is going to make decisions about where police state squads are going to be sent before a crime has occurred. And more decisions like this are going to be made by AI. And they don't want us talking about that. One of the videos they flagged on our channel, and they didn't flag it until recently, so it got to have its full views, and then they flagged it, and now it's since been shut down because it had an ambiguous title, that's why. Is the one about society being programmed by a black box. They don't want people talking about that at all. Anyway, so I just thought you guys should be updated on the fact that we've now moved to the phase where they're going to shut down and bury anything that contradicts well-established scientific or medical consensus, which we, most of us know what that means, and contradict well-established historical facts, e.g. unsubstantiated conspiracy theories. They also don't care if it's a substantiated conspiracy theory either. If it goes against the establishment narrative, it's going to be buried. So the global model, the global world, the World Wide Web is based on a consensus model. Majority rules and minority has no voice at all. But with the added bonus of being able to manipulate what the consensus believes through modified search engine results and memory holing information on the web. And people don't even realize this is what's going on. We don't want to live in a society where we're not allowed to question official narratives, where we're just spoon-fed what we're supposed to believe about how everything works. And we can't figure anything out for ourselves because they're going to tell us exactly what we're allowed to know. Nobody wants to live in this world they're creating. Nobody. If people really thought about it, got off the computer and formed their own opinion without the aid of Google and Facebook for 2 seconds, and they really thought about this, nobody wants to live in this world that they're creating. A world where you can't ask questions. A world where you're spoon-fed your prescribed view of how everything is, and you're told exactly what you're allowed to think and see and know and learn about. This is 1984. This is where we are. Doesn't matter how much more technologically advanced we get in the years to come, it'll still be 1984.
When you use Google, do you get more than one answer? Of course you do.
Yeah, of course.
Well, that's a bug.
One way to think about this is we're trying to make people better people, literally give them better ideas, better augmenting their experience. Think of it as augmented humanity. Think of it as augmented humanity. Think of it as augmented humanity.
That's good, Jared. Thank you. Okay, folks, that's real-time intel right there. Here's the issue. Here's the issue. Too many quote-unquote Christians. Number one, they don't know the truth. They don't know the truth. They don't know Jesus. And they certainly don't know the truth of his word. So what do you think this vast number of people who consider themselves Christians, what do you think they're going to believe when crunch time comes? Are they going to believe the truth that they don't even know? Are they going to believe the truth that they're told by the media? Well, I can tell you the answer is already out there in front of our eyes. They're going to believe what they're told to believe. And that's why we see so many Christians marching in support of abortion. That's why we see so many professing believers marching in shame pride parades. That's why we see so many believers supporting transsexualism, transgenderism. Every debauchery that's coming down the road today, there is a Christian group and denomination that is fully supportive and behind it. And I'm here to tell you that it's because they're not following and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. They are following and obeying Satan. They are no more born again, blood-bought, spirit-filled Christians, because if they were, the Lord and the Spirit would rebuke them in their sin, and they would be on their knees asking for forgiveness for that. But that's not happening today, is it, brothers and sisters? We've got a challenge today, folks, because the people that they're coming after is us. People that are talking about the true gospel of Jesus Christ, that are living their lives for his honor and his glory, that are encouraging others to do the same. We're seen as radicals now. In fact, we are, and again, this is old news and they've tried to bury it, but we are seen as domestic terrorists. Anybody have a comment before I move on? Jump in here now. You want to jump in and say anything?
Sure, Mike. I went up to Marquette, Michigan, Saturday. David Arthur was supposed to join us, but of course we all know what happened there. And I basically wanted to go to be under his leadership because he's been in that situation and how you deal with these people. But it all comes down to, which I figuring out more and more working the abortion issue line I feel more comfortable with. But by going out and engaging these people is the only way that my faith is being strengthened and challenged to know what I know in the Bible and be able to apply it. And a lot of the conversations I had, it went back to, why are you here? Why are you disturbing us? We're just, you know, and it always was leading, the Spirit was leading, I am concerned about your soul and your salvation. And we had people coming up saying, why are you judging? Don't you, doesn't it say in the Bible, judge not lest ye be judged? And I says, well, the Spirit gave me this one. Yes, Jesus Christ is your judge. We're here to warn you of heaven or hell that you to gain. And he is your judge and you are going to be judged. We're here as warning sign to you. That's all. So what I'm trying to say is by getting out and engaging them, the Spirit of God just starts sharpening you more and more. I'm sure you and Pastor Dale can assume to that as well.
Amen. Yeah, you're spot on, Ray. Being out there and representing Christ, listen, there is nothing to fear in doing that because the Holy Spirit will be all over you. You'll open your mouth and things will come out that you didn't even know you had in you. And those things will come out and God will use them to bring conviction, correction, encouragement, whatever is needed, exhortation in the moment. And God will do that for you if you'll just be obedient to represent him. There are people out there dying and busting hell's gates wide open. We need to go where they're at. We need to stand right in front of the gates of hell and say, no, you'll have to run right over me to get there because I'm going to tell you about Jesus. I want you to know that Jesus saves. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But they're going to censor that, aren't they? Who do you think is going to get put in that box that last video talked about first? Is going to get moved, get buried. It's going to be people like us. That's why it's important that what Coach Dave and many others are doing. They're starting to build a network across a network of local groups of people that no matter what happens, we know each other, we know where each other is at, and we can still get together and accomplish the mission that Christ has for us in this last days. Folks, get serious about your faith. Get serious about connecting with, and listen, and let me say this. If you're in a church that is dead, and I don't know who I'm talking to, maybe I'm talking to nobody today. I'm going to say it anyway. If you're in a church that's dead and you know it's dead, and you're only there because, well, you've been there for years, you know, your friends are there, your kids are comfortable, it's okay. Get out of that place. Will you get out of that place? Find a church that's alive with the Spirit of God, the fire of the Holy Spirit in that place. Find yourself a body of believers where the pastor is Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, and teaches the Scriptures. We don't need to hear about hobby horse theologies or the pastor's vacation. What we need is the unadulterated, clear exposition of the Word of God. Every time we meet, that's what we need. We shouldn't be giving folks anything but that. Somebody needs to jump in here before I go off. Jump in here.
I say amen, Pastor Mike. And not only that, you know, with the social networking, that's nice. It's creating, national ties. But the censoring that they can't censor is when we go out into the streets and we engage people one-on-one, just like Jesus did. And understand this, when Jesus was coming in Jerusalem and they were laying them palm branches down and singing Hosanna, Hosanna, because they thought for sure the Messiah and he was coming and he was going to just not only establish his kingdom, but just bless them and everything was going to be good. But 1 week later, they were saying crucify him because that truth comes forward and it pierces through the darkest of hearts. So when we're out feeding people, everybody loves us when we're doing the mercy ministries. But when we're bringing the prophetic message, this is what, because it deals with the darkness of a man's heart. As Ray said, we have to be in the streets and we have to engage people. I'm grateful for the social networking. I'm grateful for your show and coaches and just the network that it does. But if we don't take it to the street, we'll be afraid to take it to the street in that day.
Yes, yes. Amen, Brother Dale. That's absolutely right. Anybody else?
Was Dale in the back of our church on Sunday, Mike? Seriously.
I started teaching Mark chapter 11, Pastor Dale, Sunday. I didn't get very far, but I started teaching on it. And, of course, that's what we refer to as the triumphal entry, where everybody was shouting, you know, Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. Blessed be the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the Son of it. So, and all of that. And then they turned around a few days later and shouted, crucify him, crucify him. So, yeah. Yeah, Larry. That's the Holy Spirit, though, right?
Amen.
I got it.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, it's an opposition message to the flesh and to the self, right? I mean, if what Jesus said is true, if the gospel is true, if the kingdom of God is here, you know, if the kingdom of God is now a thing, then what? Then repent. Well, that doesn't sound so good, so I'm just not going to want to do that. People don't want to repent. They don't want to because they're clinging to themselves too hard, and right? I mean, we all have to live a life of repentance, but it's like they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. And all you're telling them is, look, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. There's a better way. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, that's right. Yeah. Well, you know, the truth today has gotten perverted. Even the definition of truth has gotten messed up today, folks. Because I can tell you something. The truth is not whatever works. The truth is not whatever works. That's pragmatism. You understand that. But that's where we're at. If it's not pragmatism that people follow, even in the church, then it's relativism. And I've heard that out of people's mouths before, even people that profess to be believers. Relativism. Well, you know, I'm glad that works for you, but that didn't work too well for me, so I'm going to follow my own path. Let me tell you something. There's no such thing when you're a disciple of Jesus as your own path. Do you understand that? There's a path that the Lord provides for you. And I'm going to say this because I've said it many times before, and it's true. And it's gotten a bad name because of some a ministry primarily and some books. But folks, listen to me. God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. He does. He saved you for a reason. God has assignments for you to do. You read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, and what you're going to come to at the end there in verse 10 is that Paul tells the Ephesians, we are Christ's workmanship. We are his workmanship. He did this. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith and our salvation. But he did that so that we would serve him for the good works, says what? That he ordained beforehand. Wow. Are you kidding me? So the Father knew when he saved you what he was going to call you to do? Yes, he absolutely did. The question is, will you be obedient to follow him and what he has for you? We've all got assignments in life. We've all got a part to play in reaching the lost with the message of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It alone saves, folks. It alone saves. Let's be very, very clear about that. Anybody else? We're running out of time here for today's episode. Anybody else have any comments they want to share?
When you were speaking truth, Mike, I always say that truth is not an opinion. Truth is not an ideology. Truth is a person. And his name is Jesus. He is, that's why he says, I am the truth. He's not, it's not an opinion. It's not a thought. It's not an idea. It's not a religion. It is an absolute deity of a person named Christ himself.
Amen. Amen, Pastor Dale. That's right. The truth is a person. And guess what? The truth is not your sugar daddy. When you come face to face with the reality of who Jesus is, you should be, your knees should be knocking and you should fall on the ground before him. And you come into a full appreciation, if that's possible, but as much as an appreciation as is necessary of his holiness and his righteousness, that should cause fear and trembling. You should cry out for forgiveness and he will grant that. Do you understand that whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved? Whomever, that might be you right now. Maybe that's you we're talking to. You've been shaking your fist at God. You've been arguing with God. You've been refusing God. You've been rejecting him. Well, today's the day of your salvation. If he's speaking to you, you cry out to him right now. And I'm not going to give you a scripted prayer. If God's placed that in your heart, you'll know what to say. Ask for forgiveness. Seek him. He will fill you with his Holy Spirit and you will belong to him. Folks, I appreciate you joining me today. It's always a blessing, and I consider it an honor to be able to share with you. And I appreciate those that join me in the queue. I don't take that for granted either. This is a privilege for me, and I appreciate you taking the time to spend with me today. And I want to remind you of something, folks. Renewing our minds is not an option. It is what every disciple by day by day. God bless you, and I'll see you next Monday.